Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We continue with Rob Bradford and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's go. Live from Yankee Stadium, this is the Baseball Isn't Boring show. Gordo, you haven't given me a McFarlane yet.
Say that again. I heard a beep.
You haven't given me a McFarlane yet.
McFarlane!
Oh, man, it comes through. I'm in New York. I don't know where you are. Zach's in Brighton. It hits no matter where we are. But, Gordo, before we go, I want to let you rant and rave. I haven't let you rant and rave as nearly enough since you've been on the line here. But before you do that, let's go to Wally in Fall River. He's been hanging on patiently. Hey, Wally, how are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good, Brad. I took my blood pressure pill, so I'm all set for the game tonight. You know, everybody keeps saying, what happened to the Red Sox? What happened to the Red Sox? I mean, you have to be realistic now. The five games under, this team isn't capable of going on a run, winning 20 out of 23. The schedule doesn't favor them, Bradford. They had this all part of the schedule. They couldn't make hay. You get a nine-game road trip. You still get them games with the Yankees. But say in 2 weeks they could be 14 games out of first place. I don't know what the answer is. Is Roman Anthony going to be the Messiah, come up and be Fred Lynn, Will Clark, and Wade Boggs combined? Is he going to come up? They're going to put him right away in the cleanup spot? Too much pressure on these kids.
Well, Wally, before I let you keep going, let me just stop you right there because you raise a good point. We talked about this before. We talked about how weak the schedule was heading in the year, and everyone was sort of bracing themselves. And they should have braced themselves because this is exactly what happened. But I'll come back to it, where they're 15-20 against teams 500 or better, which is not great. The Yankees are 24-16. But this, and you guys, Gordo, you weigh in on this as well. That number that I cited, that I tweeted out in the middle of the game last night, I was like, I can't believe this. Since April 23rd, Wally and Gordo, since April 23rd, the Red Sox have the exact same number of wins as the Chicago White Sox, 16. That is the biggest reality check, Wally. What? Right? Am I wrong?
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, you know, people all around baseball said, what happened to the Red Sox? I mean, we had high hopes in April, and we were shot down in May, like Frank Sinatra saying. But I don't think it's going to get any better. Believe me, I'm a realist. I don't see no wild card, nothing. I mean, it's going to be like the Dodger fans. Wait till next year.
Well, again, Wally, thanks for the call. And Gordo, another part of it, too, You know, I cite the win total since April 23rd. You know, I cite the lack of production against good teams. The other thing is they haven't had a three-game win streak since then either, I think since that April 23rd jumping-off point. Like, they haven't had a three-game win streak. And at some point, you're just sitting there thinking, you keep hoping for the last month and a half for something to change, and nothing's changed. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and you felt it every step of the way, too. I mean, you say that number, that they've had the same amount of wins as the White Sox since that date, and it doesn't even remotely surprise me. Because the start of the real slog was April 30th. Like, they were 10-17 at one point, and I think maybe they're like 1-3 since then. So it's just, I mean, you felt it, and it's when the starting pitching went to die that this team, and obviously they've lost offensive contributors since then too, but they were okay in April, but there was problems, and then you lost the starting pitching, you lost your offense, and it's gone nowhere.
So the last time they were over 500 was on, bizarrely, was on May 24th. They're 27-26. Up until that point, throughout May, they sort of went back and forth. They the last time they won three games in a row was April 26th through April 29th. That was three games in a row, two against Cleveland, two against Toronto, or one against Toronto. Before that, they had a four-game win streak on April 15th through April 19th. All right, that included Tampa and the White Sox. But that seems like eons ago. I mean, I think that the overall lesson here is that when you can't put together a three-game win streak, when you are just wallowing and you aren't finding any solutions and you aren't finding any identity, I don't care about the injury. The injury thing, Gordo, I mean, I'm sitting here at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees have every right to cry about injuries as much as anybody.
You can't use injuries. You can't. No, with the Red Sox, the problems were very evident before the injuries set in.
Yeah. All right, so tell me what you want to rant about. I mean, I've been yapping away. We've had the callers call in. I want the callers to keep calling in because I feel like there's a sense of this is the avenue to do that. You tell me, Gordo. I mean, there is nobody who has a better pulse of the fan base than you. What do you got?
Well, my thing today stemmed last night when Buehler was struggling, and you look at some of the starting pitchers, and you look at all of the starting pitchers, to be honest with you, and you know, they hire Andrew Bailey, they hire Justin Willard last offseason, and you hear that it's going to be the start of this pitching pipeline, and this pitching lab, the Red Sox pitching lab, is here to stay, and it's going to be different. And what we would say last offseason is, this is going to be a process. It's not going to be something where you snap your fingers and the Red Sox just have this pitching factory. It's going to take time to develop. And you're seeing that in the minor leagues, and I think that's great. But you look at the big leagues. You look at the big league roster, and I'll go back to a quote that Breslow said when he was hired. He said, quote, "The ability to generate swings and misses in the strike zone is the time-tested, foolproof recipe for success. In a perfect world, we have a host of pitchers who can generate swings and misses in the strike zone." And then you look at last year and what the starting pitchers on this team did last year, and you look at what they're doing this year. Crochet is Crochet. Buehler was one of the worst pitchers in the league last year, and his in-zone swing and miss rate is basically the same. Houck last year, 14.1% down to 11.5%. Bayo, 16.8% down to 10.9%. Giolito, this is 2023 because he obviously didn't pitch last year, down from 18.8% swing and miss in the zone to 9.1%, basically slicing it in half. And then Nick Pivetta on the Red Sox last year, 15.4%, with the Padres now, 22.9%. So obviously you look at the guys on the field, but at the same time, like we keep hearing about this pitching lab, and my question is, at the big league level, what is it doing?
Well, it's first of all, excellent job by you. You earned your money, which is T-shirts and smiles.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it was an excellent, excellent tweet and excellent research by you, and it's true. I think that at the end of the day, this is a results business. That's what I keep coming back to. And that's why I get frustrated, man. I get frustrated because, you know, I'm sick of the talk. I'm sick of the stories. I'm sick of the narratives. I'm sick of all of it. Like I pride myself on not being too reactive, and a lot of people will even criticize me for not being reactive enough. But at the end of the day, I look at this team, Gordo, and I say, you have to do something. You have to change the approach. You have to accept that a lot of things that you thought would work maybe isn't working. And a lot of that you just cited. You just said it. You know, like,
yeah, what they're doing isn't working. It's
right.
Obvious.
And so, you know, I know a lot has been made about the amount of breaking balls that they throw. A lot was made out of last year, how they started off strong, then everyone figured it out. They went away from that. And this year they're still throwing more breaking balls than everybody. But, you know, I just look at them like this is – it's like they want to reinvent the wheel, but the wheel doesn't need to be reinvented in a lot of ways. I mean, I know that it's this, we're doing it off of one game. I know that if we were coming off the Sedan Rafaela 308-foot home run game, then maybe, you know, we're saying, oh, well, you know, it's not so bad or whatever. But I do think that is – we have to take stock.
It's a Band-Aid.
It's a Band-Aid
on a gash.
Right. Right, and I mean, and Gordo, I'll come back to last night's game. Like, I'm sitting here at Yankee Stadium. I'm getting the vibe. First of all, you're reminded, and I'm reminded of this usually at the playoffs, but are reminded of a fan base that feels so good about themselves, that feels so like their chest are out and everything.
And they should.
No, they should. I mean, this is another thing. The Yankees, like, you can talk about the Yankees, about money they spend. The Yankees development, the Yankees pitching, their pitching lab, that's the pitching lab that you want to, like, applaud and stand up and say, good job by you, Luke Weaver. Congratulations. I know he's hurt now, but all of that. But, you know, I just look at it, Gordo, and I look at the scene here, and I couldn't help but coming away and feeling like there was one team that is doing their best, to your point, of you're putting Band-Aids on all over the place, and one team that just like, hey, you know what? We feel pretty good about what we're doing. Even with the injuries, we feel pretty good about it. It just felt a completely different vibe, more so than I have felt in a long, long time.
Yeah, and they deserve every bit of it. I questioned them coming into this season, wondering if they had enough talent after Juan Soto and certainly after Gerrit Cole went down. And, you know, to their credit, they haven't missed a beat. And it goes to show you, like, one big injury doesn't necessarily need to sink your season. But when you're in a position like the Red Sox were in, where they were hovering 500 and clearly showing issues, an injury like Bregman, it kind of does. Not that you were going anywhere before that, but when you're already going nowhere, it kind of kills you.
But you know what? Today, Garrett Crochet pitches, you know, and they'll probably win, and that'll be great in terms of Red Sox fans. But, you know, still, I just look at it as, you know, how much more evidence do we have to have? We cited all the evidence going back to late April. How much more evidence do you have to have that you have to do something, that you have to do something internal? More than Robert Starks being called it. By the way, Gordo, another move that they made today is that they recalled right-hander pitcher Josh Winkowski from Worcester, ... and placed him on the 60-day injured list with right elbow flexor strain. So there you go. Aggregate.
There you go.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Welcome back to making big league money, Josh Winkowski.
Yeah, that's the first thing that jumped to mind. Have you ever been to Yankee Stadium, Gordo?
I have. They typically don't win games when I go there, though. It's bad.
Oh, so you were here last night.
I was not there last night, but if I were there last night, I think the score probably would have just stayed 7-0.
Once again, I played on the Yankee Stadium field yesterday morning, so when I criticize...
How'd you do?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the great game of baseball was a winner, sort of.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I did use a torpedo bat for the first time.
Really? How did it feel? Did it feel different?
It felt like I missed the barrel, like, by an inch, which made me feel like I should have used a different bat. But I would go back to it. I'll go back to it. I'm not jumping ship on the torpedo. We got another media game coming up at Fenway next Friday, so it's all good. It's all good. Gordo, I know you've got to go off and do great things in life. Go forth, and I will be talking to you plenty of times this week and next week as well. And also go listen to Play Tessie, Kevin Millar interview, D'Angelo Ortiz interview. You guys got it rolling. I appreciate everything you have done. I have talked to numerous fans at Yankee Stadium, and this isn't a lie. I talked to numerous fans at Yankee Stadium who are Red Sox fans, and I say, what podcast do you listen to? And they cite the two that we're talking about right now, Baseball Isn't Boring and Play Tessie. That is a fact.
Well, there you go.
Let it be said. Let it be done. All right, Gordo, thanks for jumping on, man.
All right, Rob. Thanks for having me. We'll talk soon.
All right. Gordo from the Playtesting Podcast, of course. Sammy and Pat also. Joe Braverman does a great job producing. And speaking of great job producing, Zach Coe is our producer. Zach Coe is going to trend right now.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees 9-6, the final in yesterday's Game 1. First inning woes continued for the Sox pitching staff. Walker Buehler allowing 5 runs in the first frame. Not all bad for the Red Sox, though. Top prospect Marcelo Meyer launched his first major league home run. With that loss, the Sox have now lost 7 of their last 10, sit 5 games under 500, and 10.5 games back of the Yankees for first place in the AL East. They'll look to bounce back tonight when Garrett Crochet takes the mound opposite Ryan Yarbrough for the Yankees. You can hear that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started at 6:35 on the MassMutual pregame show. Then the Wills, Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks, will have the call of the game. First pitch from Yankee Stadium at 7:35. Patriots OTAs wrapped up at Gillette. Next up for the Pats in their offseason progression, mandatory minicamp that opens up on Monday afternoon. Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers evened up the Stanley Cup Finals at one game apiece last night in Edmonton with a 5-4 double overtime win. 2 goals for the former Bruins captain Marchand, including the game winner in double overtime. Series shifts back to Florida for Game 3 on Thursday night. Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers stole Game 1 of the NBA Finals in Oklahoma City with a jumper with 3/10 of a second left in the game. Game 2 goes down tomorrow night in OKC, tip-off at 8 o'clock. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More baseball isn't boring coming up after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Make a habit of it.
Brad Foe and baseball isn't boring. WEEI.
Excellent job, Zach. You know what's what. How can you not get fired up? I mean, it may have something to do with the massive amount of caffeine that I just poured in my body. But I think it also has to do with that song. Right? Zach, does that get you fired up?
It does.
Seem like a mellow guy. I don't know, man.
I can get fired up when you
can
when I get going. Yeah.
Are you a dancer? You ever dance?
Not a big dancer. No.
No. What do you do at a concert? What concerts do you go to?
I've been to Red Hot Chili Peppers a couple times. I saw Taylor Swift on the Eras tour with my sisters and girlfriend. I kind of just bobbed my head.
You just bobbed. You knew exactly where I was going with this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kind of bobbed my head. But I have not been to a Motorhead concert because this is probably the only song I would be waiting for, Ace of Spades. But that is a song that we try to get you fired up for coming back from every break here at the Baseballs and Boring Show. I appreciate everybody who has participated so far. Gordo jumping on. All the callers. I love it that they're all fired up and they all have different takes and unique takes. Allison in Cambridge having the great Scrabble take. I love the Scrabble take from Allison, which was, you know, that you can't wait for the Q's and the Z's. You know, you're playing Scrabbles. You can't just wait and just keep getting the A's and the whatever, the C's. I don't know. Zach, you ever play Scrabble?
Now and then, not in a while.
All right, so you know what I'm talking about. You can't wait for the Q's and the Z's. You can't wait for the you just can't keep waiting. You can't keep waiting. That's what we're talking about when it comes to the Red Sox right now. That's how it feels anyway. You just can't keep waiting. I mean, I just feel that way. Now, we all assume that they're going to handle business. You know, you have Garrett Crochet. This is like their fail-safe, right? Oh, okay. You can change the narrative for at least 24 hours if you have Garrett Crochet pitching. Although, their record with Crochet pitching hasn't been unbelievable. What are they at, Zach? Like 7-5 or something like that? I think with Crochet pitching?
Like everything with this team, they're hovering right around 500.
It is. You know, we had been rattling off numbers and trends over the last month and a half for this team. And I think that the biggest takeaway really is that, you know, how can you just keep listening to this stuff? How can you keep listening to these numbers? If we're going to deal in science and we're going to deal in analytics, like how can we keep listening to the fact that you haven't won more than three games in a row in a month and a half? How can you listen to that you have the same win total as the Chicago White Sox since April 23rd? How can you keep listening to this stuff? How can you keep saying, oh, well, in the last month, your starting pitchers have the second worst innings on total numbers of inning pitch, the third worst OPS against, the third worst batting average against? Like, how can you just keep listening to this and not do something? How you have the one-run games, Zach. You have the one-run games or 17 one-run losses. And you say, well, you know, it's one-run losses, it'll turn. But it hasn't turned. You have 17 of those. That's not something that is just happening, this randomly happening. That is a trend. So if you want to deal in science and you want to deal in analytics, then look at that stuff. Look at all of that. That's what we're talking about here with this team.
Yeah, and the one thing that I keep coming back to is they seem to want to place Roman Anthony or call him up in the perfect situation.
Nah.
And over the course of a 162 season, that doesn't really exist.
Was Marcelo Meyer, was that the perfect situation?
Well,
no.
Kind of, because the Bregman injury prompted
it.
No.
What they're talking about and what they had said, I think that Breslow had said on the radio, wasn't this past week, but the week before, was, hey, you know, like, oh, we don't want to drop him in the middle of the losing streak. Or, you know, like, okay, that's what you did with Marcelo Meyer. You don't want to drop him in and being the savior. No, that's not what we're talking about. And by the way, they need a savior. Sometimes that's how it works. Sometimes all of a sudden, that if you get that guy in there, it's not only that he plays better, that he plays well, but he makes other people play well. Everybody start feeling good about themselves. And it's sort of like, here's an analogy I have for you, Zach, right now. I know we're sitting here on June 7th. And last year, they were in a similar situation at the beginning of June, totally different result, and they caught fire in June. Doesn't feel like it's going to be that way right now. Certainly, the identity feels completely different. But how many times do we talk about at the trade deadline where you're saying the importance of getting a player at the trade deadline is making everybody in that clubhouse feel like you're taking steps forward, making them feel like you're looking for that momentum, making feel like that you are invested. And And yeah, I mean, it's almost impossible to make trades right now. It is. That's how it is. I talked to one GM this week, and he said it's tougher than ever. It's not only June, but the way the landscape is when the executives, it's tougher than ever to make trades. All right, take that off the table. Well, you have other solutions. We have cited them before, or early in the show, Roman Anthony being one of them. All right, take that step forward. Give that clubhouse that vibe. Give the fan base that vibe. You got a little bit of it with Marcelo Meyer. Now you get a little bit with Roman Anthony. Don't just keep running out Christian Campbell and having the poor kid have the same results over and over and over and over again at the major league level. Like, I've seen it. I get it. Sometimes he pull out from it. Dustin Pedroia did that in 2007. This is not Dustin Pedroia. This is a completely different situation. There is a very real solution to this. Get the kids' confidence back. But come back to my original point, Zach, is that sometimes that you feel like if you make moves, if you're the front office and you show you're willing to get uncomfortable, that you're willing to say, hey, enough is enough, we have to be different, then that has a very real effect on a lot of guys in that clubhouse. That's how it works at the trade deadline, and that's how it can work here. Now, I want to play a couple bits of sound from Craig Breslow, from him on the Greg Hill Show. The first one, we haven't even talked about this, really, about the Alex Cora scenario. Alex Cora's lot in life when it comes to managing the Red Sox. And you can call in, please do, 617-779-7937, about how you feel about Alex Cora as the manager of the Red Sox. I'm open to everything. But this is what Craig Breslow said on the Greg Hill Show when he was asked about how he feels about Alex Cora being the manager of the Red Sox.
We're always going to be anchored to what is best for the team, and we have a lot of confidence in Alex as the leader of this group. He's won in Boston as a player. He's won in Boston as a manager. We have conversations daily about everything that we can do to get us back on track. That's where our focus is, and that's where it will remain.
All right, so when a lot of people took that, the initial statement or part of that statement was it wasn't just, hey, yeah, of course Cora is going to be a manager. He said we're always going to be anchored to what's best for the team, which wasn't necessarily, hey, you know what? What's best for the team is absolutely Alex Cora. But then he sort of went back to, yeah, well, Alex Cora is part of the solution, not part of the problem. I'm paraphrasing. I'm anxious to you to get all the perspectives because I heard it from the morning show people. I've heard it from different people. I've heard it from people in the socials, everything else. But I want to hear it from you, Zach. When you heard that quote, and you clearly follow the great game of baseball because you know these fancy stats. Yes, correct?
Yes.
You know the fancy stats. I'm Zach Cohen. I know the fancy stats. All right. What was your takeaway from that comment?
Honestly, I didn't read too much into it. Like, I wasn't expecting him to come out and say, oh, Alex Cora is on the hot seat, Alex Cora is not this. I've long been a Cora defender. I think he's a top three manager in the sport. So I think the conversations about his job security are a little bit premature at this point because you can point to different things like the pitching lab or so-called pitching lab being largely a catastrophe. So I didn't read a whole lot into it.
All right, so I didn't either, you know, and I get it. Like, as soon as he said the thing, we're going to be anchored to what's best for the team, I knew that they were going to latch onto that, say, well, that's not a definitive defense of Alex Cora. But then, like you said, then he sort of defended Alex Cora after that. But I do think that in the case of Craig Breslow, I don't think that moving from Cora is, you know, we talk about solutions to this problem. I don't think that's the solution. I just don't. I mean, I think when it comes to Alex Cora managing this team, is he having a good year? Is he having one of his better years as manager? No, he isn't. I don't think he is. My history, my experience when it comes to seeing managers who have performed before and maybe are underperforming in a certain year is when they don't have a good grasp on their team, when they don't have a good grasp on what's going on, what they have to use. So in this case, it's whether it's pinch hitting, whether it's position, moving players to different positions, whether it's taking guys out, putting guys in, whatever it is. And part of that is because you have these injuries. Part of it is because you have new players. And part of it also, let's be honest, and we don't have the answer to this question, but I'm going to introduce it anyway, is that all this information, He's got more information in his head than ever. It's the Joe Madden line. When Joe Madden got out of managing, he said the problem with managing right now is that you have seven voices in your head when pitch one starts. And I think that Alex Cora probably has more voices in his head than he ever has. That's not an excuse. That's just a reality. And maybe it's on him to siphon through that, to filter all that stuff in or out or whatever it is. But I think that's part of the solution, or that's part of the issue here. All right. So I do want to also play Craig Breslow, because you mentioned the pitching lab, Zach. And I hear that a lot, right? I hear that pitching – Gordo had mentioned it. He had some great facts and figures. The pitching lab isn't taking root. We have the numbers. We have the starters. I mean, Gordo's tweet, go check that out, Boston Sports Gordo, about how they are not simply getting any swings and misses in the zone from these pitchers. So the whole pitching lab is a conversation. But conversely, the flip side of that, the other part of the approach the Red Sox have taken, is the driveline conversation, the hitting conversation, the hitters, the approach that they have taken the hitters, the amount of people they have hired from driveline. And Craig Breslow was asked about that at the Greg Hill Show in terms of like the driveline approach. Now, Breslow pushed back on that a little bit, but I think there's a lot to pick through, because I think that you can line that up with a pitching lab thing. I think that it's, as everything in baseball, it's the money ball thing. By the way, I saw Ron Washington playing, he confirmed playing first base is incredibly difficult. But it's the money ball thing. Everyone wanted to dig in on a side. Everybody wanted to dig in on a side in the money ball. Scouts versus stats. And that's how it feels here. It's pitching lab, drive line versus gut, whether it's old school, whatever it is. But it's not that simple. I am going to offer some clarity to that. But if you want to weigh in on the Cora situation, the Devers situation, the drive line situation, the pitching lab situation, the Red Sox situation, 617-779-7937. We're going to take you all the way up to the pregame show with Joe Wiles. Joe Wiles going to be joining us for the last couple segments as well. What a treat for us. I always enjoy Joe. Does such an awesome, awesome job. But I do want to give you that sound from Breslow after this break, and then I'm going to tell you exactly what he said and why he said it.
Baseball Isn't Boring with Bradlow on WEEI.
All right, live from Yankee Stadium, I'm Rob Bradford. Baseball Isn't Boring. You may know us from such educational films as the podcast that drops every single day. We have a cavalcade of stars this week. Ron Washington, Ryan Brazier, old friend Ryan Brazier, checking in from the Cubs. You know who we had on, which I really enjoyed talking to? Alan Siegel, who used to work for the Eagle Tribune here locally, works for The Ringer now, and he wrote a book on The Simpsons. You a Simpsons guy, Zach?
Not particularly, no.
Oh, jeez, okay. All right, so I'm just that was my own frustration, not frustration toward you, but it was the Simpsons have a deep tradition in baseball. You have the Homer at the Bat episode. So anyway, it was good. It was really, really good talking to him about the Simpsons. He wrote a book on the Simpsons, and if you write a book on the Simpsons, you can get on the Baseball Isn't Boring show. All right, let's see. Let's go to the phone lines if we can. All right, let's go to Lee and Quincy. Hey, what's going on, Lee?
Hey, how are you? I enjoy the station. I listen almost every day. I've listened to all the games this year. I wanted to tell my story about when I was a boy. I'm 73, and I called a talk show. I was probably 10, 15 years old, and I spoke to Kurt Gowdy, and I said to Kurt, I said, Mr. Gowdy, I said, I don't think a baseball manager means a lot to a team. And this is what he told me. He said, you know, Carla, I was talking to Earl Weaver the other day, and I asked Earl, I said, Earl, how much do you really think a manager means to a team? And Earl Weaver told him about a game. That's what he told me. I still remember that, you know.
Like one game, huh? That's it, huh?
That's what Earl Weaver told Kurt Gowdy.
Yeah, let me, it's a good topic because I was talking to John Gibbons. He's a bench coach. He used to be the Toronto Blue Jays manager. He's a bench coach for the Mets now. And he said that Frank Howard, you know, Frank Howard scratches right where you itch, right? That's your wheelhouse, Frank Howard, I bet, right? That era?
Sure.
I saw him play many times. Yeah,
too.
Frank Howard said, listen, it comes down to you aren't going to win, you know, you might win a few battles, but you aren't going to win the war unless you have the cannons. And what he's saying is that, it's true. I mean, it is true. Yeah. You got in this day and age of baseball, you got to pay for the cannons. You got to develop the cannons. You have to have the cannons. And I think that's what it – and I watched – I don't know if you watched the game last night, but I just felt like that way. I looked at it, and I'm like, one team has the cannons. Yeah. The other team doesn't.
Sure. But look, on this season so far, it's the lineup. If three or four of those players, you know, Wong and Campbell and Story, if they're hitting 250 instead of 220, I think they would have won 10 more games. They killed a lot of rallies.
Yeah, they aren't going to put them in. You're rightly. I mean, and thank you for the insight, and please call anytime. It's a great topic about how much a manager means and also how much managers have changed. And we've said this before. I keep rattling off the whole dynamic of that we had with Joe Maddon when he said that, you know, the problem is that you have seven voices in your ear when the first pitch is being thrown. And there is that element. Yeah, I've actually been talking to a lot of catchers in this respect. What Cal Raleigh is doing now as a catcher is crazy, how he's hitting. Because you aren't seeing catchers hit. Carlos Narvaez is really, really good. Because a catcher now, compared to 15 years ago, has like five times more things that he has to worry about. That's just the reality of the situation. The same thing with managers. And you just don't want to be paralyzed by the information. All right, Tony in Bridgewater. Tony, how are you?
Hey, what's happening, Rob? You make a lot of sense today, but let me tell you something. On answer these two questions. You think Francona's a good manager?
I do.
Okay. Do you think Joe Girardi was a good manager? Just yes or no.
Can I go, eh? Eh?
No, but this is my point. You know, Girardi won Manager of the Year in 2006. 3 months later, he was fired.
Yeah.
And Francona won two championships, but when he got into his eighth and ninth year, they just stopped listening to him. I'm a Cora guy. I think he's a great baseball guy. But honestly, you can't fire 25 guys. You can't reconstruct everything. I just think I'd love to see Cora as a GM because I think he's a great baseball guy. But I think it's time for a different voice.
Well,
I just do.
Tony, along the lines of what you're saying, think about this. The managers of the year, yeah, 2 years ago, in both leagues, are no longer managing right now. You have Skip Schumacher and Brendan Hyde. Managers of the
year. That's my point.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's my point. It's sometimes you just, like, Francona was the perfect team for that 2004 and 7. But in 2012, it was a total disaster. Doesn't mean he's a bad manager. It just means sometimes you need a different voice.
Yeah, and Tony, you know, I think that, and that's what that was a Francona sort of narrative, you know, when he left, that he had been there so long. And I do think that in managing a big part of this, and I do love this conversation about managing, the importance of managers, but I do think the importance is also having the right guy at the right time. John Farrell was the right guy at the right time. Cora was the right guy at the right time. And when you're when Cora, I think Cora's a very good manager, and when Cora opens the door, though, what he says the other day is like, hey, listen, some people say that maybe I can only manage veteran teams. Maybe that's the case. Like, he's opening that door.
I didn't like what he said yesterday. Like, that, he's a little burnt out. I can't put my finger on it, but I'll tell you something. When he said yesterday about, oh, well, at least we made them use their claw, like, that is so lame, and that's not the Cora that I know. Just, like, dribbling on. You've seen that after the game,
well,
right?
Well, I think that we've seen
– it was lame.
We've seen so many different iterations of Cora after these sort of losses. And, yeah, I didn't like it. I didn't like him citing, like, we got Cruz in the game, like, five times. I don't care about that. But you know, I think that we've seen different – a couple times Cora's been very pointed, and, you know, I think that a lot of people appreciate that, but you can't do that all the time. Like, this is like – I think that he's desperately trying. He's – and it comes back to this, Tony. I think that when you see – and I honestly am going to value your opinion on this. When you see a manager who's been good, and then you see a manager who maybe isn't having a good year – most of the time for me, it's that manager not having a really good handle of what he has to work with. And that's how I feel now.
I agree. But they can't just zoom everybody out. They can't get rid of
No, you're right. You can't. You're right. But there are things that you can do to change the narrative and dynamic. Tony, good call. Thank you.
I tried everything.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Tony. Thank you so much. All right, let's go to John and Gardner. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hi, Rob. I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm great, man. Like, it's I see some blue sky here in New York. It was raining all day, so it's all good.
I hate to criticize, but a week or two ago I asked you about Cora losing confidence, and you said no, and you hung up. So I'd like to
confidence in Cora or the Red Sox losing confidence in Cora?
Cora losing confidence in himself. And can I motivate?
Listen, I don't. I mean, he says
all
what
right,
he says.
You answered it last week. Let me try to answer
it. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Let me go back a little bit. First of all, if you got a pitcher throwing 88, 89, nothing sliders for half his pitch count, you get problems. And that's just the beginning of it with the pitching. I blame a lot of this on the lack of foresight for the Red Sox could have signed Xander to a mutually beneficial deal 2 years before it got down to the wire, right?
Yes.
And who do you want out front as the guy that's going to talk, that's going to take some of the heat? And they didn't have the foresight to look and see, well, if we don't sign him, it's going to be Rafael. Rafael can rake, but is he the guy you want out front there? Does he want to be the guy out front there? I don't think so. So that's part of it. The reason I asked about Cora, this spring, I think that Cora, knowing Rafi's personality, just wanted to hammer home to him, you're not playing on the field. You're the DH. You're not playing in the field. Then all these things happen, and Rafi now doesn't want to play the field, apparently. And I think Cora might be wondering, can I motivate these guys, especially the young guys, and the veterans too, for that matter. But it just seems like there's too many things that are misaligned, and I blame most of that on the front office.
You know, I think one of the things is that one mistake that Cora can't make, and I think that unfortunately, I think it's sort of trending that way because of the Devers situation, is you can't play both sides of the fence. You can't. And when I saw the report about how Alex Cora, you know, they purposely didn't have Alex Cora in the meeting to ask Rafael Devers to play the position because they want to sort of keep that relation going. I don't like that. I don't like it. Because here's the problem, is that when it comes to Rafael Devers, there isn't any other player in there who can say to Rafael Devers, hey, Rafi, do this. There isn't. Not even Bregman, because he's caught in the middle of it and he's maybe on the 1 year contract. Alex Cora is that guy. And so if you don't take that tact and you don't potentially sacrifice that relationship, then you're going to get caught in the same world that, to be honest with you, John Farrell did with David Price. So that's how I feel about it.
And I know you got to go, but I know one quick thing. I saw Frank Howard hit a line drive into the center field bleachers when I was a kid. I won a contest in my paper route company. Ooh. And in my childhood imagination, I swear the pitcher flinched because it was so low that it was just a rocket. I don't think I've ever seen a baseball.
Well, I mean, the Frank Howard, what he said to John Gibbons about it's so true. Like, you might win some battles, but you aren't going to win the war without the cannons. And the Yankees have a pretty good one in Aaron Judge. That really helps.
Yeah, they do. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, John. All right. Some great calls. I appreciate it, everybody. I also am going to get back to that soundbite that I promised about Craig Breslow on the Greg Hill show later or earlier in the week, talking about that whole drive line, because that was the most that Craig Breslow has pushed back in one of those interviews that I've heard. And you know that if he's pushing back, it means something that, you know, that narrative is important to him. And I'm going to clarify. I'm going to clarify what he said, what they said, what the reality of that situation is. I'm going to do it after the break, and Joe Wiles is going to be joining as well. All right, 617-779-7937. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. Be back after this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month.
Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app and take Boston Sports Original everywhere you go.
Now that music means only one thing. Actually, it means two things. Number one, the Baseball Isn't Boring show keeps rolling along. At BB Isn't Boring. Go check out the social. At BB Isn't Boring. It also means Joe Wiles with us. Yeah, Joe Wiles, pregame show host.
What's going on, Rob?
Oh, my goodness. You're at the Baseball Isn't Boring studios.
I sure am. And I feel like Ace of Spades now is like Pavlovian for me, where I hear it and I think, okay, Baseball Isn't Boring is on the air.
Yeah. I mean, it's like lower the heart rate. It's like throwing the cougar in the car.
Exactly.
Come on. Well, thank you, man. I know that you get the big pregame. This is a workshopping for your pregame show. It's always great. What do you got coming up in the pregame show, by the way?
So we'll be diving into Garrett Crochet tonight, but also reliving last night and hitting on more of the starter woes for the Sox. We also have Will Middlebrooks joining us as well. And Rob, he answered a question I've been hoping to get an answer from him about. He homered off of CeCe and he homered off of Mariano in his career, and I asked him which homer does he hold in a higher regard, and he went with Mariano, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And if
yeah.
you watch the home run back, as he was talking about with me in pregame, it is funny because Ichiro is playing in right field at the time, and he takes three steps in and then drifts back, and it goes over that short porch and right. So it worked out for Will.
You know what my takeaway from that is? That we have officially reached the point where we're defaulting to the glory days of the Will Middlebrooks home runs.
We have hit that point. And Rob, it's – you know, we hit postgame, and you just felt so deflated because you watched – last night unfold, and yeah, they made a showing of it. They climbed back in, but you still knew in the end that they were going to fall short because that's just what's happened with this team recently. And I've been in this spot for a couple weeks. I remember doing a show after the Sunday game against Baltimore where the reality for me really set in about the Bregman injury and where this roster was at. And they've gone 4-9 since they've lost Alex Bregman. And I know that's not the only issue. There are many issues with this team. But I just felt like at that point in time, that injury was just going to be just a gut punch for this team. And it has been in many ways offensively. And then on the pitching side, it's been a disaster outside of Crochet.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing, Joe. The Yankees have injuries. Everyone has injuries. I mean, the fact, even when Bregman is playing, we go back and we have all these numbers and we have all these trends going back to, I'll use April 23rd as a jumping off point, you know, when, you know, that you can't ignore. And that's the thing that's maddening about the situation, is that it's been a month and a half. You haven't won more than three games or more than two games in a row. You know, I cited that stat about how they have the same number of wins as the White Sox, who I think are winning.
I remember when you tweeted that last night, and I saw it. I'm like, really? But you're right.
It's not, you know, and the White Sox are are getting better. There's no question about it. But still, that should be striking for Red Sox fans. That should be striking for the Red Sox. And then you have the numbers about the starting pitchers. And here's another thing about, and I don't know if you heard Gordo, I'm sure you saw his tweet about the starting or the pitcher for the Red Sox not getting swings and misses in the zone. You know, that's obviously not great in terms of what the Red Sox had planned and are looking for. But if you go back, Joe, and I know you follow this stuff, if you go back to the beginning of the year, that first month of the season, they actually were the team that was facing hitters the third time through the order. They were actually were the team that people were saying, oh, look at their starting rotation is doing exactly what you want, and they're powering through. They're not going to be like last year. They're actually going to be going 6 or 7. They were that team. And then obviously the script got flipped, and you went the other way, sometimes out of necessity because the pitchers were bad, sometimes because you're protecting pitchers. But whatever it is, it's a results business, Joe, and the results have not been good. And that's what I come back to. The results have not been good for a month and a half. You haven't won more than 2 games in a row. So what can you do? You can't make a trade. What can you do?
I don't know. And that's
no, I do.
What's that?
Well, I mean, let's start with thou shalt not be named. Roman Anthony, right?
That's the start.
So I had broached this with Gordo. Now I'll ask you this. Simple question. Say, which would you rather have? Which would you rather have? Sedan Rafaela as your second baseman and Roman Anthony in the outfield, or Sedan Rafaela in the outfield, or Christian Campbell slash David Hamilton as your second baseman?
I think that first option, because I want Roman Anthony here. And I think if you can find a way to get Rafaela to second, and Rob, I know you've been on this train for a while, the sending Christian Campbell down to AAA.
Oh.
I'll admit I had been kind of holding off on that. I think I'm there now, just because of how lost he's been at the plate, and that this has continued to trend for, you know, obviously a long time. But I know you've been saying it for a couple weeks. I was giving him a little bit more time, but I think I'm there now because he's not going to fit. At least I don't think he'll figure it out up here. And top prospects
that's
all
it right
the time
there.
Go
that's
down,
right there.
Get the, you know, they swing it well down in the minors, and then they come back up and perform. This is not a one time thing that is happening with Christian Campbell. It happens all the time.
I'm going to give you a quote. So I went back and listened. I had Mike Trout on the podcast, and I should have the sound, but I'm not very prepared.
That's a big get.
Well, I mean, it was last year.
Okay.
But I asked him about this subject. And the quote he had, it says, I think when I got sent back down and called back, I kind of knew what to expect. That's what helped me get to that moment, the moment of actually feeling like he belonged. When you first get called up to the league, you're always trying to show everybody what you've got and try to do too much. You have to trust what you got there or how you got there. When I got sent back down, that period was when I could look at myself in the mirror and know what to expect and be prepared for that moment. They should take that, put it in front of everybody who has part of this decision when it comes to Christian Campbell, and understand that. And I know that every player is different, and it's not one size fit all. But I think that for Mike Trout, Mike and Joe, Mike Trout is the guy everyone defaults to when we have this conversation. I had it with Jackson Holliday numerous times, and he admitted that that's the one everyone kept yelling at him about last year, which was when you say, hey, everyone gets sent back down, and you know how I know? Because Mike Trout was. And so that's what we're talking about here with Christian Campbell. It's okay. It's okay. All I know is this. Like, they are pitching him a certain way, and because they're pitching him a certain way, he cannot function. He's losing confidence. He doesn't even look confident in the field. He's going to be a really good player. But as Mike Trout said, that can be so impactful. And for them not to understand that, it's bizarre to me.
Yeah, and on top of that, Rob, and I think unlike Mike Trout and unlike Jackson Holliday too, Christian Campbell's been paid. I mean, so he understands that if he gets sent down to AAA, they're going to bring him back up. They've made a financial commitment to him for the long term as well. So I have come around to that idea at this point. He's 13 for his last 101 at the plate.
But it's not only that. It's how he looks.
I mean,
they're pitching. It's the same thing. And I had one scout tell me this, is that, yeah, you know, like, and this is another thing we shouldn't forget. And I don't understand why they're ignoring or they're not factoring this as well. He's barely played any at all in the minor leagues. I mean, it was 1 year.
And one year of college ball, too.
One year, right. And so And you know what happens? As again, one scout said to me, pointed out to me, he's like, those levels, all the levels, he's getting those sliders out over the plate. Here, everything's in on his hands. Boom, boom, boom. And what's he doing? He's pounding into the ground. He's pounding into the ground. And then when he does get the pitch out, he doesn't swing at it with confidence. That's how it works. And that's the dynamic. I mean, you go back to Mike Trout and Jackson Holliday, the amount of minor league games they played compared to Christian Campbell, a lot more. I can look it up. Science would suggest. But, yeah, I mean, and the reason why we bring up Christian Campbell, Joe, is because it's that's one part of it, is to get Christian Campbell right so he can help. But it's also to get Roman Anthony up here to see what he can do, right? I mean, you've seen Roman Anthony a lot. There's nobody in the world of baseball is going to say he's not ready. He's not, and don't get me, oh, he can be better at sliding and can be better at chasing fly ball, whatever it is. This is the type of player that they need right now.
Yeah, and right. And there's like these little things that, yes, he can work on in AAA. I know it's like ground ball rate is one of those things, but you're so right. He should be up here. He should have been up here, and he's not. And what's happening now too, Rob, with this season slipping away, with them being 30 and 35, we may look back on this decision or the lack of decision made by the Red Sox about this and say, well, what could this season have been if he had been on the opening day roster or if he had just been called up earlier in the year? Because especially with the offensive side of things, and it's not like he's going to fix everything, but he's going to help this team score runs. Like, he's more of an advanced prospect than Christian Campbell was. So he's going to take his lumps, but at the same time, this team needs that injection. And we did see it with Marcelo Meyer's bat yesterday going deep to right center field, and that was great of you to get that video of him getting the ball back as well. That was fun.
That was a good fun moment.
Yeah, and what was an otherwise not fun night in the Bronx, but I'm with you. And I think on top of that too, Rob, again, if this season continues to go this way, we need more, or I think people at large, you and I are obviously hooked to this sport and this team, but there's going to need to be more reasons for people to tune in. And,
oh, yeah.
And Roman Anthony is one of those reasons.
Well, I don't care. Honestly, you tune in because you win. You tune in because you have hope. You tune in because you feel like they're taking steps in the right direction. But I come back to it, Joe. It's that you have, you know, we have that soundbite from Craig Breslow at the beginning of the Alex Cora comment where he said, you know, we are going to be grounded in what is best for the team. But it doesn't feel that way.
No.
It doesn't feel like I don't know how you get to the conclusion where changing something, whatever you can change, isn't what's best for the team after you've gone through this month and a half. So I do want to play, and I've been promising so much, the soundbite from Breslow, and I do want to get your take on it, the whole driveline thing. But first, we get a trend. So, hey, Joe Wiles here, all the way up to the pregame show. Then he's going to take over. I'm at Yankee Stadium. This is a Baseball Isn't Boring show, and this is Zach Coe trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox fell to the Yankees 9-6, the final in the Bronx last night. First inning woes continued for the Sox pitching staff, Walker Buehler allowing 5 runs in that first inning. Not all bad for the Red Sox, though. You just heard Joe Wiles say it. Top prospect Marcelo Meyer launched his first major league home run. With that loss, the Sox have now lost 7 of their last 10, sit 5 games under 500, and 10.5 games back of the Yankees for first place in the AL East. They'll look to bounce back tonight with the pig, Garrett Crochet, on the mound. He'll be throwing opposite Ryan Yarbrough for the Yankees. You can hear that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show in about 15 or so minutes. Then the Wills, Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks, will have the call of the game. First pitch from Yankee Stadium at 7:35. Patriots OTAs have wrapped up down at Gillette. Next step in the off-season progression is mandatory minicamp. That'll open on Monday. Brad Marchand and the Florida Panthers evened up the Stanley Cup Finals at one game apiece last night with a 5-4 double overtime win. Marchand scored 2 goals, including the game winner. Series shifts back to Florida for Game 3 on Thursday night. Tyrese Halliburton and the Indiana Pacers stole Game 1 in Oklahoma City on Thursday night. Game 2 of the NBA Finals goes down tomorrow night at at Oklahoma City. Tip off at 8 o'clock. My name is Zach Ho, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Baseball Isn't Boring coming up after this.
Now, more of Brad Fo and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
Right, here we go, storming into the pregame show. Big showdown between the Yankees and the Red Sox. I'm Rob Bradford, live from Yankee Stadium. Joe Weil workshopping the pregame show with us. We appreciate it, Joe. Thank you so much.
McFarland!
Thank you. That was my bad for not asking you straight from the mountaintops, but that was actually... you can do better than that.
I could do better. Okay.
Yeah, this, what do you got?
McFarland!
I love how everybody uses like the different sort of like the ebbs and the flows of McFarland. Some like accent the end, some accent the beginning. You sort of accent in the middle. all right. Well, I've been trying to get to this sound because I thought it was pretty interesting. Not only because of what was said, but because like how it was said. And this was when Greg Hill asked Craig Breslow about the Red Sox driveline approach. So we'll talk about it, but first let's play this out. It's from the Greg Hill Show.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, you know, this approach is spoken about like it's the boogeyman, but if I were to say, you know, the approach that we have to teaching offense is to say, hey, we've got to start with making great swing decisions, right? We've got to understand the pitches that we need to swing at. When we swing at them, we need to put them in play. And when we put them in play, we want to hit the ball hard enough that it matters. And when we get to two strikes, we need to compete like all hell to put the ball in play, especially when we have runners in scoring position. Is that something that you would say sounds like, you know, kind of we've got the wrong approach here, or misunderstanding, you know, around what's important? I think we need our hitters to be extremely competitive in the box. We also need them to understand, you know, what type of balls in play tend to produce runs, and that's the approach that we've got.
All right, so that was interesting because, you know, I think that that's a really, really good interview every week, but usually it's they ask the questions and Breslow answers them. That was the first time I had ever heard him sort of come back at them a little bit in that respect, asking, hey, do you basically saying, hey, do you know what you're talking about? Do you know what driveline is, right, Joe? That tells me that, you know, he is here the scuttlebutt about people like, hey, you hired half of Driveline Corporation. You're not getting the offensive production that you thought. One is leading to the other. Here's my take on it, Joe, and I want you to weigh in after. My take on it is Breslow's right. I mean, this isn't a catch-all driveline is this. Now, there are emphasis. There's emphasis on swinging hard, bat speed, getting the ball in the air, those sort of things. And that it is also true that the Red Sox hire a ton of people from driveline. And so, yeah, I mean, those are the things that we know to be true. What we also know to be true is that in the last 2 years, the Red Sox are leading the league in strikeouts. That is a fact as well. The Red Sox do not make contact like a lot of teams. And I have said for a while now, when you look at these one-run games, it's not the only reason, but one of the reasons I feel like it hasn't helped them in these one-run games is the inability to prioritize putting the ball in play. Now, you have players in the major leagues like the Jacob Wilsons and the Luis Arraez, like who pitchers will tell you, like you do not want to face them when the game's on the line because you know it's going to be a tough at bat. The Red Sox don't have a ton of that. Bregman was probably the closest they have to that. But the overall approach where they beat their chests out like, hey, look it, we have gotten the most out of the April version of Christian Campbell. This is the way to do it. That's fine. But it like a lot of things, you can't – we have to look at everything. We have to – much like the pitching lab, we have to look at everything. We cannot not be critical of it. And I think the mistake is when you just sort of paint it with a broad brush of like, oh, it's a driveline or nothing. No, it's okay. What I come back to this, Joe. The question I would have for Breslow isn't, hey, driveline, shame on you. It's of the things that you thought would work, of the things that you have implemented, what are the things that maybe haven't worked like you thought they would?
Yeah.
And I would suspect that some of that is within that answer and within that question.
Yeah, Rob, I think the biggest thing is like what adjustments are you going to make? Because I think the problem in sports too many times is being so dead set on one specific thing. I mean, on the pitching side, we know what the story's been. It's been this spin, which obviously after April of last year, the rest of the league has completely figured out. And we saw that again last night with Walker Buehler. On the hitting side of things, you're right. Like that's what I would ask Craig Breslow is like, okay, yes, you have your philosophies and all that, and you could point to specific examples, but there have been too many instances this year, and especially with runners in scoring position, where this team has had non-competitive at-bats. And looking at last night specifically, Rob, they were making a comeback in the sixth inning. I mean, they for a game that felt like they were completely out of it for a long period of it, they were actually starting to string something together. Alex Cora was managing with urgency because he was going to some pinch hitters in that sixth inning. They get a big hit from Romy Gonzalez to make it, at that point, it was 8-4. And then Trevor Story strikes out and back to, or he strikes out. Then it's Rob Refsnyder who strikes out, inning over. But with Trevor Story specifically, like, it feels like the approach doesn't change, where he just doesn't put the bat on the ball and make something happen. Just, yeah, hit a ground ball, you bring in another run. Or if you hit a fly ball and bring another run. And I feel like too many times rallies have stopped because guys are just striking out. When you get taught this when you're young, when you're a kid, you got to run around third base with less than two outs, put the ball in play so you can, at the very least, bring them home.
And this isn't – the problem is, and you're so right. I mean, we dig in – everyone digs in. I go way, way back to the money ball thing, scouts versus stats. It's not one size fits all for everybody.
It shouldn't be.
Players will tell you that. I heard players saying this in spring training where, hey, you know, it might work for some guys, but the Justin Turners it doesn't work for. You know, other guys it doesn't work for. And I'll give you another stat, another example of this, where – the close and late situations, the Toronto Blue Jays have the best batting average. The best batting average in close and late situations. Guess what? Toronto Blue Jays are also the best at make contact in all of baseball. Their swing and miss percentage is the lowest of all teams in baseball. The Red Sox, conversely, they're 27th. And I think that one leads to the other. And sometimes you're going to hit on it. A lot of times you are going to hit on it, but you better be able to put the ball in play when it counts the most, which is, by the way, Joe, when the World Series rolls around, when the postseason rolls around, we always applaud these teams. Look at how they're putting the ball in play. And then all of a sudden, now we're going away from it. This is a very real problem with this team, and because it's the problem with this team, because it's this approach that you've taken in regards to hiring all these people and taking that tact, then you're going to open yourself up for criticism. That's just how it is.
Well, and right? And you look at recent winners too, Rob. Like, the teams that have won the World Series, they're not in – I was looking this up. Last 10 years, only one team's been in the bottom third in strikeouts, and that was the 2021 Braves, who were an anomaly in so many different ways because they didn't win all that much in the regular season. You can't strike out this much. You can be like a maybe slightly below-average strikeout team, but – statistically, it does show that you can't be way at the bottom. Even if you're going for slug and you do hit a lot of home runs, and I think the irony of the Red Sox over the last couple of years, Rob, and I think you'd agree with me on this, is that statistically, if you look at like where they finish in a lot of key categories, overall it actually looks pretty solid, but that's not taking into full account of like watching the whole season and seeing the highs and super lows that this team can go through.
Would you agree that when we come to the one-run losses narrative, 17 one-run losses, which, you know, that's a trend, would you agree that that's part of the equation?
Yeah, 1,000%. All right. Mean, they're not coming through in these key spots. And at the beginning of the season, we were looking at it. I was at some points trying to look at it optimistically and say, okay, they can't continue to lose this many one-run games. They're going to figure it out. It's the law of averages. But they're kind of like that Padres team from 2 years ago where they were losing so many close games, and you thought with them, okay, they're going to eventually figure it out.
You know what the Padres did? They traded for Luis Arraez.
Yep.
Let it be said, let it be done. By the way, it's pouring here in Yankee Stadium.
That's I will gear up mentally for some Sox talk.
No, I don't think you have to. There's clear sky. Science would suggest that there is sun around the corner. It's just one of these. It's, the tarp is on the field. I'm still optimistic. So I'm optimistic about the weather, not necessarily about the baseball team.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, is it fair?
I'll be ready regardless. At least you've got me mentally prepped for it. Like, I was ready to listen to the game. I'll duck out after pregame, run some errands, but now I might stay here for a bit. So, okay, I get to hang out with David Azar. Maybe we'll see if Zach Coe hangs around as well. We'll miss you.
Listen, Zach knows the sexy stats. Zach, rattle one off for me.
Give us one, Zach. Come on.
Come on, Zach.
The one I used earlier was Christian Campbell and his 3 WRC plus since May 1st.
Oh!
It's not great.
But I got to pour a bucket of water on me every time you say WRC plus.
What's your gripe on that one?
Nothing. There's no gripe.
Oh, okay.
I just say, like, if you could explain it to me in 30 seconds, it's fine. It's beyond that. So, but he did. He did. Zach, you did an excellent job. You did an excellent job across the board. I appreciate everything that you are and everything that you do. Also, same goes for you, Joe. Awesome job with everything. I tried to give everyone the feel goods with the video of Marcelo Meyer giving the bat and ball to the kid. So hopefully that carries over. I will take full credit for this game if they win tonight.
All right. And I'll make sure to credit you, too.
Thank you. Can you put it on my Wikipedia page?
Yes, I will. I'll add it to it.
Thank you, everybody. This has been the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. We'll see you next week.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.